from the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, Bleed Blue Show, the Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud, talking blue shirts in July. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and Stitcher apps. Of course, Rider for Elite Sports New York, that would be Ranger Proud. Our Pizzle, what's going on, my man? How's everything?
Hey, Steve, how's it going tonight? What's going on?
Not bad, bro. How's everything? Good? Good?
Yeah, everything's good. Beating out the heat a little bit, but things are going well. Enjoying some little slow time now with hockey and all, but you know, that was bound to happen, but it's all good.
Yeah, that's an understatement. Coming up with topics, and I know there's been dialogue around social media as far as what's to talk about. You know, I wanted to, you know, actually pick your brain about this as far as I see what the National Basketball Association does, the NBA. I kind of wonder why the NHL doesn't take a page out of the NBA's book as far as, you know, showcasing a lot of the guys from the AHL around this time of year. I know the risk of hockey with the risk of injury is greater in hockey than NBA because of the physicality. But this is around the time of year where I think, you know, it could work. I don't know. But I would love to see a little bit more year-round hockey, especially when it comes to the NHL. And I know it's the summertime, people like to regroup, go on vacations, but I don't know if you ever had any opinions on that as well, or any other topics when it comes to our blue shirts as far as right now in July. What's your thoughts?
Well, they do have something going right now for the last couple of years called the Beauty League. It comes out of Minnesota. A lot of NHL players participate in it. Brady Shea, Neil Pionk, Vinny Leterrier, just name a few, Ryan McDonough. And it's like I think it's a 4-on-4, very nonchalant, open kind of hockey. The money's used for, you know, different charities and other things like that. But the players come down because it gets them to skate once a week now, and then in August they skate twice a week. But I don't know how, you know, the NHL season is really long. And I don't know if the coaching staffs and all really want, like, all these prospects playing through the summer. Because unlike other sports like the NBA, the prospects are all playing in their minor league affiliates. You know, the Quebec Major League, AHL, excuse me, and things like that. And their seasons all go pretty long, too. But I think it's really not that long of a time that they're off the ice. I mean, if you look at when the Stanley Cup Finals ended till when we get back going, it's only, you know, 2.5 months. Players that get knocked out early in the playoffs or don't make the playoffs tend to go to the World Championships. So I don't know if there'd be a huge market for it. I don't know how intense it would be. It would be nice if they had something maybe in August, maybe like 2 weeks before camp, something similar to when they had the World Cup of Hockey a couple of years ago, when it was a little bit before the training camp started. Get some of the guys going. But, you know, the problem with something like that is, especially when you put your country's flag on your jersey, you tend to go all out, even though it's in August. And the risk of injury is up there, too. I was watching a little bit of the summer league basketball and all. I think it's great, you know, for the prospects and all. You don't see veterans doing it. I don't think you would see veterans in the NHL doing it, especially with the CBA and the way it's written. So I don't know how much of it you would have. You know what I'm saying? Like, how much would you have the range of prospects playing? Maybe another week or 2 weeks after the prospect camp that they just came off of. So I'm not quite sure financially, fiscally, where are they going to play, insurance-wise. There's a lot to it. It hasn't really been something that's come up. You know, players are already pretty much doing year-round training, and it's so much different than it was 20 years ago. Personally, I would love to see some sort of hockey. Either that, or I'd like to see some of the minor league hockey that comes, you know, on American television. I'm sure in Canada they get a lot more with TSN and all of that. But I don't know how it would play out here. You know, in football, you have college football, and basketball, you have college basketball. So you see a lot of these guys. So if they're doing, like, the summer basketball league, there's a huge interest because a lot of fans know these players already. You don't know how it is in hockey. A lot of these guys coming up, because there isn't as much popularity around the sport, especially in America, when it comes to the minor leagues and prospects. We wouldn't really know who these guys are than maybe the first five or eight players picked in the NHL draft. So I don't know how much of a demand or how much games would go out to it.
I guess that's the burning question. That's the silver lining. How does or how would the NHL build the popularity? How would you make it more popular? I guess that's the whole point of what I'm saying. How could you make it more popular?
I don't know how you get prospect popular. You see, the difference with hockey is a lot of your prospects are in Sweden, Finland, Russia, United States, whereas a lot of the main prospects, let's say in the NFL, are playing in college. And college football is just so big. So I think it's almost impossible to do, because how would you get guys like before Kako came, you know, was drafting out, let's say last year, how would you get Finnish hockey here and to be something the non-hockey fan wants to watch? It's just like not the norm. I mean, baseball doesn't really have it either. But if you think about it, baseball ends in October and they go all November, all December, and all of January before they pick up. It's the same 3 months. I don't think a lot of fans know the baseball players in the minor leagues and out of it as much as NBA and college. It has a ton to do with the collegiate level. So I don't know if you can bring that up. If you really think about it, the NHL and MLB don't really do anything in the off season. It's a long season. You know, the other thing, like with, you know, basketball's a long season. Football really isn't. So a lot of fans want that, you know, to see it. So I really don't know if you could get it as nearly as popular. I mean, the NBA Summer League is just really getting big this year, a little bit last year, I would say. Before that, you really didn't hear much about it. But now, you know, they're playing in main cities. You know, they're playing in Las Vegas. So right off the bat, Las Vegas is, you know, Las Vegas is Las Vegas. So they're going to get a lot of people going to those games. But we're traveling all goes, hey, it's something to do on a 100-degree night. So I don't know if we could get it that big. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I was always wondered, RP, as far as gaining the popularity of the sport. As you already alluded to, between October and a good June, that's when they play. But there is a little bit of a gap if there's not anything going on at international with the hockey around the world. Then it's really kind of a dead period. I mean, and like you said, baseball is a little different, because I think the advantage baseball has obviously is because it's throughout the warm weather months. So people usually take off usually more during those time. You know, kids are out of school. Adults probably take more time off to go to games. So they have that advantage. They're pretty much the only game in town as far as major sports in this country. Because the football is off season, NBA is off season, and so is the NHL. So they have pretty much full reins to. It's just them. They're in competition with themselves as far as regular season.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I always kind of wondered as far as how the NHL could really build popularity. And I always thought they could kind of start somewhere where you could have, you know, let's say they wanted to do a 2 week. I don't know, with the prospects up in Ottawa or Montreal. You don't think people will flock to Ottawa or Montreal to go check out some NHL, even if there's some upcoming talent?
I know I would. In Canada, absolutely. But I don't know if you'd get the attraction in America. I mean, yeah, if they wanted to do something like that, I mean, they could definitely do a prospect. But they sort of do that now, but it's not televised because, what is it, the end of August or maybe the first week in September, they do have those camps like Traverse City in Detroit. The Rangers always have a team in there, and you see that it doesn't get.
But it's not
a lot
televised.
Of popularity. It's not. Last year, the Rangers streamed it on MSG Go. I remember they were streaming. I know
somewhere.
A lot of the other teams stream it. You got to start somewhere. And that's like a week and a half before, and that's normally a lot of prospects. I don't think they would do much before that because then Traverse City's. We have the prospect tournament isn't as big. And they also do it, you know, Arizona and the West Coast, they have a different kind of Traverse City League, I forgot what it's called, when that process goes. So they do something with the prospect prior to the start of training camp, but it's just not, it just doesn't take off. Mainly, I would think, because a lot of the fans don't know who the third-round draft pick was from the Rangers last year. You know, like, we don't know Kyandre Miller and when Kravtsov was playing, and you get a lot of coverage from the KHL because of the players that have been involved in that. And Steve, it would also help if, you know, if a team like the Rangers made the playoffs and the sport that the team itself played to mid-May, it wouldn't be as long as a break. But the last two seasons, April 5th, it's been over. So by the time June comes around, we're already without hockey 2 months. But if you go talk to the St. Louis Blues, well, they've only been done their whole organization with it the last 2-3 weeks. So it also depends on how far you go and how much we miss it. So I'm edgy for hockey to start, but it's because the Rangers have made a ton of moves, and you want to see these guys on the ice. You want to see these kids come up. So there's a lot to look forward to. But on a regular basis, if you're making the playoffs and you're rolling, you really need that little kind of step back from the game and recharge a little bit. Prospects are always skating and always playing. I just don't think the popularity is there on that level.
Right on, right on. There was talk on Twitter as far as what other additions with the limited cap space that the Rangers can do. Now, this is outside of the arbitration stuff. We kind of talked about this last week. So what could they do, or what would you try to add onto this roster as far as pieces? Maybe not necessarily names, but what about fit? What about chemistry? Like anybody that comes through Ranger
Prowse. Chemistry is a tough one. Yeah. Chemistry is a tough one because until you see what you have on the ice, it's kind of hard to tell with all the new faces. I mean, when you look at the team on paper right now, you're like, wow, this is it's a pretty solid team, especially on the offensive side of the line. But I don't know. You know, they need another strong defenseman. They probably need to get a little better at the center position, only because we don't know what's up with Lee Sanderson. Is he going to make the team? Is he going to be up here? What are you going to do with Boone Ebs? Now, Nathan Ebs is this great center, but I thought he was an excellent fourth-line center. I thought he did everything the team wanted. He has some offensive spark to him. He's good in the defensive zone. But every team's always looking to improve. So if I had to pick a position-wise, I would think they need to strengthen the center spot a little bit more on this team. Now, what do they do for that is a whole other story. As we said, you know, the cap is really tight. The Rangers did sign Kako last week to his entry-level contract. So that took another $1 million off this year's cap. So now they're down to only $7 million free. So we're still waiting to see what moves they make before you can really see what positions we can improve on and signings. Because even if they make trades and buyouts, they still have these four guys that they have to sign restricted free agent-wise. Well, let me correct myself there. Today, the news started breaking that Buchnevich is on the trading block. I don't know how accurate or true it was. It was one sentence that Brett Seigerhaus from the New York Post put, and he put that Nemstikov and Buchnevich were on the trading block, and social media exploded with that. That was the first that came out. It was the first people have heard of it. If the Rangers should trade Buchnevich, they don't have to worry about signing him. But just remember, they're probably going to bring a guy back that's under that has some sort of salary, because you're not going to trade in for a draft pick. So I don't know how much that's going to help the team either way. Right now, if you look at the salary cap, Buchnevich isn't on it because his contract's expired. So there's nothing against the cap for him. Now, of course, if you brought another player over that's getting $2 million next year, automatically that would go on the cap, and now you only have $5 million available. So the Rangers, at this point, I don't think they're going to make any trades or any big moves until they really finalize what they want to do. A little surprised that they haven't announced if they were going to do a buyout, that they can't do it. I shouldn't say that. They can't do a buyout until August or after the arbitration hearings. So that's probably why we haven't heard anything about that. I guess a guy like Nemtsov is a little bit hard to move, making $4 million a year this upcoming season. So nothing has really happened other than the Kako signing since Panarin because all these money issues. But if you look around the league, Steve, there's a lot of unrestricted free agents that haven't signed yet and restricted free agents that haven't signed yet because a lot of teams are tight with the cap. And I think everyone's just waiting around until something happens or arbitration hearings come or things like that. It's been a free agency started with a bang, but it got quiet really quick. So that's been a talk of it too. No one's really making a lot of moves on, you know, for their own teams or towards other teams. There's only one offshoot that was done, Carolina and Montreal, and that fell through. He did it fall through for the player. Aho, he signed with Carolina, but it wasn't a great offshoot. And other than that, it's been pretty quiet. It's all because of the cap. You know, it was a little bit less this year. Teams now, like with the Rangers, for instance, they have a lot of decisions to make. The next move they make is really going to dictate what happens next season. So I'm sure they're really on edge and want to get the best deal. I personally think they're going to get draft picks for Nemstikov. And I would take a third-round pick for him if there was no salary retention. If you get a team that's willing to give us a third-rounder and take his whole $4 million, it's a good deal. It really is, because you need to get that money off the cap. And I don't know what you're going to get for a guy that really hasn't done much since he left Tampa Bay. So I think that's what the Rangers are flip-flopping with regards to him. You can't sign Chris Kreider because they don't have the room on the cap. So even if they wanted to keep Kreider and sign him, you don't have room in the salary cap to give him. If you give him, and it's a low number, I know, Steve, if you give him $5 million over 5 years, which I think is on the low side, well, then you only have $2 million on the cap left, and you're really tight. So for the Rangers, the salary cap is holding everything up right now. It's a problem you and I discussed last week that JD and Gorton and the rest of the team have a plan for, what we're hoping, but we don't know if things fell through or haven't worked out, because those two guys have been really quiet.
Yeah, great points as far as, like we said before, and reiterating or highlighting the issue as far as why things have quiet, because you have to wait for the way the money has to roll. So it's kind of a wait and see to the end of this month with arbitrations and some of these other guys who could be possibly on the move on other teams, as well as restricted or unrestricted free agents. All the big fish have been signed. We already talked about Bobrovsky. You know, Matt Duchene, I think I had mentioned it at the end of the podcast last week, going to Nashville, which was a hell of a move for them, and Anders Lee going back to the Islanders, guys like that, and Zuccarello to the Wild. So all the big guys are back or have been signed. We talked, you know, the reason why Trouba's with the Rangers is because the Winnipeg Jets like Meyer. So, but when it comes to the blue shirts, and like you said, it's all about the cap, you know, the tightness of, as far as the limit of the money that we have currently. And as far as pieces, and to answer my own question, I mean, logically, you make a lot of sense, and you're absolutely correct as far as quality of center behind Zuccarello, and that's going to be the theme. I think that's actually going to be a theme, one of the themes.
Behind Zibanejad. You said
Zuccarello. Right, behind Zibanejad. That's a Freudian, my bad. Behind Zibanejad. That might be a little, you know, if there ever was, this team's going to be flawed, no doubt, because all these pieces coming together. But we talk about the defensemen all the time, and that's like kicking a dead horse. But, you know, hopefully that show improves. But as far as all these quality of wingers that we do have on this team, can the centers get it done? Could Ryan Strome or Elias Anderson, can he step up and be that guy? That's actually going to be something in camp that we're going to have to see. It's going to have to happen in practice or training camp, stuff like that, before we can even really lay a decision and then get into some preseason hockey at that point. As far as a physical, I really would love somebody who's more physical. I know we talked about how Brandon Lemieux did a nice job when he came over from the trade with Winnipeg last season after the All-Star break. But, you know, physicality would be nice on that third, fourth line. Somebody could hit. And because I felt like the Rangers would have been soft the last couple of years. I don't know if we're going to have the cap space to actually go after somebody like that, but we'll have to see. Because to me, on paper, RP, this team is probably a finesse team. More so, I think, honestly, if we was to look at all the rest of the teams in the division, I know the Rangers can hit, but I don't look at them as a physical team. And I think there's a difference between the two terminologies. But I think a lot of teams within our division, to be quite honest, are a little more tougher. I got to know how I see it. I even, as a Blue Shirts fan, I got to be real. Like, I don't think if I'm an opposing player, I don't think I mentioned this before. If I look at the Rangers roster from the opposing team or player, I'm like, oh, I don't fear the Rangers. I just got to make sure they don't outscore me, because I think that's going to be their game, is pretty much outscore you, and hopefully they don't give up a lot of goals in the process. So, we'll get to when we get to the what's his name, Trouba's arbitration. Then you have the arbitration after that, which I think it was Buchnevich, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
At the end, at the in a couple of weeks. Well, yeah, in a couple of weeks, and then we'll, then we get
next week actually
the domino effect.
Trouba is next week.
Yeah, that's right.
The 20th. One of them is
right.
the 19th, and
absolutely
one of them is
correct.
The 25th. So it's
so
coming up
within a week. Right, right.
Yeah. So
without,
it's gonna,
without
it's
going
something's
going
to happen. Something's going to happen relatively fast because once they if they should go, I'd be really surprised if they go to the arbitration hearing on Trouba. I don't see why you would trade for him and then sit down at an arbitration hearing for him. I don't see how the Rangers would have any leverage. You just traded for me.
Mm-hmm.
You just gave up a 20th pick and Neil Pionk. How can you find any fault with me? I haven't even skated for your team. Very hard to go into an arbitration hearing with Trouba. It really is. How do
fun.
You could see going into an arbitration hearing with Buchnevich because, you know, he has positives, he has negatives, and, you know, it always gets a little dirty when you get to that situation, but they have a lot to say about it on both sides. Well, what can the Rangers possibly say for a guy they just traded for that they bragged about so much that they wanted and they got their man and all of this, and now you're going to sit down and badmouth them? That's a real tough way to start a brand new partnership with a player. So I would be shocked if they went to arbitration.
Right.
But
right,
we've,
right
seen,
on,
but
right
we've seen crazier things.
We
it's not like we haven't seen some stuff that makes you scratch your head. So I don't know. It could very well be that the game plan that JD and Jeff Gordon had might have fell through a little bit. And now you're like, uh-oh, now what do we do? So, I mean, we don't know.
You know, you're right. I am looking forward to the season because the reason why is of the pieces and how they're going to come up. See, this is why I look at it. I think because these pieces are new, And I this is hypothetical when I say this. I think a lot of teams don't know what we have, and it's kind of the Rangers are really the unknown. They see the names, but they really haven't seen it on tape. And I think this upcoming season we could get some wins, we could get some 2 points here and there, as far as scoring. Because I felt watching the games with last year, I think you feel this way too, but definitely me, it felt like every goal was a struggle. Just to get a goal was a struggle. I don't feel like on paper this could be as bad. Now, of course, if these guys don't get hurt, I think that was part of it too. 2 years ago, 2 seasons ago, because the potential was there, but guys were getting hurt bad. I mean, last year that just happened. They didn't get as hurt as frequently. They just couldn't score. They just could not buy a shot on goal past the goalie. I'm looking forward to it as far as the expectations of how things are going to happen within the game when they actually do hold a lead, get a lead, don't have to be trailing, what they're going to do as far as attack mode and what the quality of, especially the wingers. I think the upgrade on wings is especially what the potential could be. It's really a different version of the Rangers team than I'm used to. Since the turn of the century, if you really want to look at it like that, because the Rangers never really been this all high flying scoring team, under the last couple of coaches, they kind of been middle of the pack when it comes to scoring. I'm not to say they're going to be busted down the walls as far as like the Bruins or Maple Leafs or like the Lightning in the regular season, but I think they could pack a punch, man. I think they could put up some nice numbers, man, as far as offense. I know defensively you still got to show up, and we're not going to totally negate that, but I think part of the plan is with these nice pieces, especially at wing, because I think that's where we really were getting killed with the lack of scoring on especially the top levels of the wings, even when we had Zuccarello, because he was more of a guy who was more of a playmaker, never necessarily looked for a shot. I think we're going to have guys who are going to be looking for their shots, and you're going to have guys like Zibanejad going to benefit more. I think he's going to even have a better – he could have a possibility of even a better year than he had last year, and he really had nothing to work with in a sense.
Sure.
That's kind of the way I'm looking at it from mid-July. I mean, things could change. you know, hopefully guys don't get hurt, and then, you know, we get to the preseason. Then, you know, we'll see how it plays out on the ice as far as who makes the teams, yada, yada, yada. What about you, RP, as far as what is your expectations as far as realistically? What about the other Ranger fans you've been in contact with through the Elite Sports in New York, the social media? What is going through their brains with the makeup currently with this team?
You know, it's funny when you're reading about it, you don't – that kind of went out the window. It hasn't really been as much a discussion as what are they going to do with the salary cap. I've read a lot, you know, did they need to improve in the centers and different line combinations and things like that. But the top topic that I've seen and is what we've been discussing is how do the Rangers – or where do the Rangers go so that they can make the next step? How do they get to sign these four guys? Because you have to sign or figure out – you first have to figure out what you're going to do with Chris Kreider, and then you have to sign your four restricted free agents. Two of those restricted free agents have arbitration hearings on the 25th and the 29th of July. So that's the order it can go. So people haven't really been discussing about what else do we do to make the team better, because everyone knows that the salary cap is so hard. It's like a hierarchy order of what you need to do, A, B, and C, before you get there. And believe it or not, any other team improvements – it's kind of down at the D level. They first got to figure out pretty quick what they're going to do with Kreider, because it's a big salary and he's a top player. And if you're going to move him, and if you decide you're not going to sign him, the time is to do that before the season starts. Otherwise, you're going to have another Hayes-Zuccarello situation like last year or the year before when you had Grabner and Nash. But for 2 years, we've been dragging players along and then wind up trading them at the end. Why go through all of that? And you lose value in that, in my opinion. So I haven't heard it so much as how do we get better player-wise. I'm hearing was how do we get better with the team that we have now to clear up our cap. So it's been a weird thing. It hasn't been as clear-cut as what are we doing to get better. I think it's all within the same context, just a different order. But I haven't really read, other than people saying the same thing about the centers, and a lot of Elias Anderson talk, will we make the team – some people are saying they should trade him. I disagree. I don't think you should give up on him just because he's developed a little bit slower, and they're always comparing him to Philip Hedel. But remember, Hedel's getting a lot more ice time, and he deserves it, but he's getting a lot more ice time, and he's able to form an identity that Anderson is still looking for. I think Elias Anderson is still the player that you want to hold on to. I can't see them even considering moving him right now. Why would you give up on him right now? So I think those kind of questions come. Ryan Strome's name seems to keep coming up. I don't know why anyone would consider trading him. His salary's a little large, yes, but he's such a versatile hockey player. Wing, center, penalty kill, power play. He's young, he's fast, he can skate with anybody. He's a perfect fit for what this team is putting on the ice. So all those things, those kind of questions are what's coming up. Not so much more what kind of player do we need to improve offensively. Defensively, Steve, the Rangers are still going to have a struggle because they kind of got these contracts that are all got them tied up right now, mainly with Smith and Shattenkirk. I mean, they're not going to buy both of them out. It really doesn't pay to buy Shattenkirk out. I don't know what they're going to do with Smith, but if they keep the defense that they have right now, if you want to bring Adam Fox in, then you got to kind of bump out, I would think, Levi Hayek right now, who's an up-and-coming rookie that you want in the lineup every day right at this stage of where the Rangers are. But how you – unless you go with – you're not going to go with nine defensemen. And right now, the Rangers roster has D'Angelo, Hayek, Shattenkirk, Shea and Smith, Stahl, and Truba. So Fox isn't even in there. I'm sure he will be, but when you look at the Rangers roster right now, he's not in that group of eight. So if you get Fox into it, now you have nine defensemen. You really only want to carry seven. You don't want to do last year. We're hoping we don't need to put a Brendan Smith on the forward position because things are so bad. Right now, I don't foresee that happening. So you have technically nine defensemen, so you got to get rid of two of them somehow if you want Fox in the lineup. So their big problem right now, if you're looking at what they need to work on, they really got to start looking at the blue line a little bit. They've made a lot of improvements on the offensive side, right? We signed Panarin. Excuse me. You're going to sign some of your other restricted free agents. You have Kako. You're going to have Kravtsov. And mind you, those two guys aren't even on the roster technically right now. Like, when you look at the Rangers roster on their website, Kravtsov isn't on there yet. Kako isn't on there. So they got a log jam all over the place. They have a lot of decisions to make. When you look at it, there really are no free spots. So whatever happens is going to be kind of a blow, like, oh, I can't believe they did that. With anybody they move, I would say other than maybe Nemstikov, because he just seems to be the odd man out. But anyone else, if you demote Anderson or move him, what are you doing? I think if they traded Buchnevich, it would be a surprise. Cause I would think that Buchnevich is the guy right now that just might be where you want him to be. He has every indication that this would be his year to really step out and put the puck in the net, and now you're going to move him after everything you've gone through the last couple of seasons. And then other than those guys, who's really going to move out of this lineup? Jesper Fast isn't going anywhere. Howden isn't going anywhere. Kreider is the one we're not sure about. Brendan Lemieux, that heart and soul and toughness that you were just talking about the team needs, they're definitely going to keep him. Buniev is probably another one on the outside looking in. And then you got Panarin, Stroman, and Bamajad. So as exciting training camp is going to be, there aren't that many roster spots that we're talking about. They're battling to hold on to what they have, these guys. Because Kako, I mean, I cannot see Kravtsov not making the team. And Kako is going to make the team. So that's two more guys. What two guys and all those men I just mentioned are not going to be in the lineup? There's the problem. Someone's got to go. You're hoping it's someone that's making a big salary that we don't have to retain anything, so our cap can increase. And you don't want, look, I don't want to see Chris Kreider go. I think he's, as many problems as we come up with when we talk about him, the inconsistencies and all, when he's on his game, an incredible hockey player. But that UFA status at the end of the season is another factor that everyone kind of forgets. Oh, we don't want to trade Kreider. He's good for the team. Oh, he can score goals. He had a great season last year. But what is Chris Kreider going to want at the end of the season? He's 28 years old. Do you want to give Kreider a 6x6 contract? Do we want to give him 6 years at $6 million, which is in the ballpark of what Hayes got? I don't know if the Rangers are willing to go that long. He's going to get that somewhere. If this year's market was any indication and what he can bring to the game every day, he's going to get that. Now, the Rangers didn't want to pay Hayes that. The Rangers didn't want to pay Zuccarello something in that neighborhood. I don't know if the Rangers want to pay Kreider that. I truly don't. And if that's the case, then he's going to be a guy that's going to have to get moved. So you look at all these things, you know, 28 years old, do you want to – I mean, he just turned 28 in April – What's his market value that the Rangers are willing to sign? And then once you get that number, does Kreider think I could do more with it? So to me, Kreider is I know I keep saying it, he is the one that you have to decide what we're going to do. Either sign him long term, which you probably can't do to resolve the salary cap issue, or move him. And I think once the first piece goes or signs one way or the other, then all the dominoes are going to start to fall. Okay, we find this out.
Yeah, there's no different than the other guys.
Move on to... Right, but something has to be decided because there's such a log jam all over the place. It's a great problem to have, but now that you're getting into mid-July and you're about 8 weeks away from training camp, you got to start figuring this stuff out. So I would think, you know, the deadline is going to be Trouba's hearing date. By July 25th, the Rangers have to know which way they're going with a lot of these guys. And I anticipate, I mean, the 25th is next Wednesday. It's a week from tomorrow. A week from Thursday, excuse me. By then, something's going to be going on. You know, it's like that base is loaded in a 3-2 count. That next pitch, something's going to happen. Well, this is where the Rangers are. They're a week away from exploding, not exploding, going to arbitration hearing, which may not work out in their favor either. You know,
it's
an interesting scenario. Now, the last couple of weeks, we say, no, this is great to talk about. There's so many options. It's fun. We're now with 2-3 weeks later, and guess what? Nothing's been done other than Kako signing his standard CBA entry-level contract. I mean, him and the Devils U's got the same deal, $925,000 for 3 years. It was a no-brainer. That's why they did it, because it had to be done, and there was nothing more to it. So I'm interested in what they want to do, but it's kind of hard for the team to make that next step forward until you make these decisions.
Correct.
It's a little dicey.
Exactly.
I think it's more.
We're in a holding pattern, I think. That's exactly correct.
Yeah, and I think it's more. I keep thinking that they had some things going and they fell through, and we just don't know about it. Because I don't think anyone thought it would go this long without a trade, other than VC, which didn't free up that much cap space, obviously. But then again, they did sign Kako, so maybe they know, you know, this is going to happen, whether it's a buyout or what you may. We're going to find out, we're going to find out pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Now, in September, mid-September, that's when preseason games start within the division. So I think in the month of August, we'll really evaluate all the players on the current roster as we know it. And matter of fact, rest of the teams in the league, our division, of course, the rest of the divisions, but definitely our team, especially the players, who's going. Like, for instance, if we were to look at Brett Howden, I mean, the thing I would look at first, RP, as far as he's one of the Rangers that definitely needs a better bounce back year. I think last year he went through some brutal stretches, lost a lot of confidence, lost a lot of time on the ice as well. I think certain players like him definitely needs a bounce back year. So we're going to look into definitely every player for the month of August and really see where they could go into year two with Quinn, as far as how can they be better as individual players and as a unit coming together, especially now with the new pieces and projection. You know, it's not real hockey, but hey, it's something to really look at as far as where do we think this is going to land with our squad going into preseason hockey. I know we've got the camp stuff later in August as well, late August, right before Labor Day. And so we'll definitely have a lot of time to really look into this as well. Right offhand, let me ask you this. If you had to name, like, top, you know, three Rangers from last year's current roster that's currently on this roster that definitely needs a boost, Howden will be on your list, probably. Who are the other two Rangers that you say, hey, man, we need you this year. We need better production out of you this year. What are the three Rangers on your list, if we had to put it out there now?
It'd be Howden, Anderson.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Yeah.
You know what, or something? I mean, we're talking the whole team. I like to see a lot more offensive production out of Brady Shea. I think it's time for him to. Yeah, if we're going to start talking, and if the continually comparisons to Brian Leach are going to keep going, then he needs to be better than 8 goals and 17 assists. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of ice time that he gets and the big minutes that he gets, and I'm not saying that he played bad, but from an offensive production, it's definitely time for Shea to be that leader on the blue line. Without a doubt, it'd be those three. And I don't feel, he had a good year. He didn't have a bad year last year, but he needs a better year. He needs to be that guy that says, this is my team.
He's
ready for that.
Yeah,
guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for that contract and just for his overall play, I think, you know, this is going to be this will be his fourth full season. It's his first season. In 2015-16, he played 7 games, which we don't really hold to him. But, you know, he's played 3 full seasons after that. He's only scored 17 goals in his career with the Rangers. 89 points, 247 games. It's time for him to step up the numbers now. He has the skill, he has the speed, he has the shot. Now we need to get that confidence, and he really needs to take the team on his back and say, I got this. Because when you look at the blue line, there aren't many defensemen there, and we haven't really seen Trouba play, so he might be that guy, he might not. But when you look at the defensemen right now on the team, there really is no guy like that. D'Angelo, Hayek, Shattenkirk, Shea, Smith, Stahl, Trouba, and maybe Adam Fox, who will be in the mix, who is that guy that you're going to go, who's your go-to defenseman, who's the guy that's going to play the 25 minutes in a game when McDonough was playing really well, you know, before, you know, his game changed a little bit. It's Brady Shea's time. So if you're asking me the three guys that need to step up, it's Howden, Aniston, and Brady Shea.
Yeah, there's no argument there for me. I think that those are some good names right there. Hard to go against that. Maybe Shattenkirk I could throw into the mix as an outside looking in, but he's more of the veteran. But or Nemestikov, I'll throw him into the mix too. I mean, you know, why not?
I just don't think it's going to happen. That's why I didn't throw him in there. I'm trying not to be rude about it. I think Howden has a great future with the team. He had the knee injury, which definitely slowed him down. And, you know, and maybe it's picking on him a little bit. It was his first season in the NHL. A huge learning curve. Different game, different hitting. Everything's different. A 21-year-old in the city. It's all that stuff. So you hope he doesn't go into that sophomore jinx that a lot of players go through. Hope he had the guys around him to help carry him up. But I'm expecting big things out of him. I want to see him do well. I like Brett Howden, maybe because I met him that time. But I just like, he's just a, you could see when he skates with a passion and a mission. And yeah, he made a lot of mistakes this year, but he was a rookie in the NHL. He's supposed to make a lot of mistakes like all the other ones did. But now I want to see him take that next step up. I think if he takes that next step up, he's really going to set up his career in New York. So we'll see what
right
that. And I truly believe that Anderson's just getting a bad rap. You know something? He is a kid who we know he can score. You know he can play all three zones. But playing on the fourth line in the NHL, you're only going to see 8-9 minutes a game. And he needs 1 minute to get into a game. So you want
to
know something? Maybe the experiment, maybe they got to take him out of center for a little bit. If it gets him more ice time, then put him on the wing. Get him the ice time. Get him the confidence. And then when you need him at center, you can put him there. Yeah, if it's a boundary that gets thrown off a faceoff or something like that, or you want to put him in some key faceoff draws in late in the game. But you need to get him on the ice to see what he can really do. We saw it in international play, and he's really good and can really put the puck in the net. And now he hasn't really had the opportunity to shine. He never seemed to have three or four good games in a row because he'd get bounced back down or he'd get benched. And there was nothing
let's
wrong with the way.
Let's find out.
There's nothing wrong, right? There's nothing wrong with the way David Quinn used them. That's you know, was a rookie coach. We're working with this kid who was really young, and he's got a lot to learn yet. But let's find out. Let's stop talking about trading, and we haven't seen his true value yet. You know, Hedo's been getting a lot of ice time. He developed a little bit faster. He's not scoring a lot of goals, but you can see his confidence on the ice when he's skating behind the net and comes out in front and tries to get the shot. He has the confidence to go to the net. He doesn't care who's standing in front of him. That's he's 19 years old. He's going to get better and better. He had a decent season last year. He really did. You know, 11 goals, 23 points, 75 games, and he wasn't always on. He was more of a third-line kind of a player. Once in a while, he was on the second. Sometimes he was on the fourth. The way things were bouncing around. But, you know, he had 3 power play goals. He had 7 power play points. He did a little bit of everything, so you expect to see him step up now. Like, now is the time to say you're going to go. Last year was his first full season in the league. You know, the first year he only played his 9 games and so forth. So now I'm interested, what is he going to do in his second full season? So these are the guys that you want to really address the situation and do it early in camp. You know something? You don't, in hockey, it's weird. A lot of times they want the veterans to see what they can do at the start of every camp. You don't need that. Play the kids in spring and in training camp. Get them as much ice time as you can. Let's see what they can do getting beat up. You know, the Rangers don't play a lot of preseason games, but when they do, they're back-to-back against the Islanders, the Devils, and the Flyers. And they all have players in that same situation. So you can see a lot in these games of what you think a player can be and how he can develop. So that's what I think they need to do with Elias Anderson. They need to really say, get out there, show us what you can do. Stop looking over your shoulder. Stop thinking you're going to get benched because his production wasn't there. I mean, he played 42 games last year and only had 2 goals. But the hell out of the line mates that he had and where he was playing in the game. you know, playing 42 games at only 7 minutes a game, it's nothing. You get more shots on goal, you break a sweat in the pregame than you do in the game itself. So he's 20 years old now. He's a little bit more mature, and I'm definitely interested to see what he can do here. You know, first round pick, seventh overall. He definitely got the skill.
Right on. Any final thoughts from you? When we get to all the other players, I'll definitely deep dive into everybody starting in the next few weeks to really deep dive. We can probably start the next week. We'll get together as far as who you want to discuss. But any final thoughts from you, RP? We have the arbitration. We'll probably pick up from there, and then we can really analyze this roster. Any final thoughts from you?
No, you know something? I guess the biggest thing is just this waiting game is kind of annoying. Once the Rangers make their first move, I think it's going to be like the dominoes. You're going to see a lot of things happening. And then it's going to get quiet again. I think August is going to be one of those real quiet months, because by then arbitration is going to be over, if there is arbitration. And I think trades, if they don't happen in July, August is always a quiet time. GMs kind of take a step backwards and I should say, and the organization's quiet down a little bit before training camp starts in September. So I think keep an eye on things, because I think the end of July they're going to get real busy, and then it's going to stop again. And hopefully at that point we'll have a better idea of what the team looks like salary-wise and roster-wise. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, man. It's just waiting to see, man. I mean, this is talking about the middle of the summer, and for all 32 teams, right now just – it's just wait and see till time elapses and we can get into some hockey, man. Some actual game action.
Absolutely.
But putting this together as far as what we think is going to happen and make a little bit of predictions here and there. But we'll analyze the roster as the weeks go on. This episode, of course, with Ranger Prowl, Blue Shirts July, iTunes Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher apps, and of course WeBlueShow.com. We'll be back next Tuesday. RP, let's pick some boards to really look at as far as current that were on the roster last year. Let's deep dive in now. We might as well get it out the way, and then any news that comes down the pike as far as for the Rangers or any other squad, we'll definitely discuss. But we'll look at it like that, man. We'll have some fun. Sounds good, man. Ranger Proud on from Elite Sports New York, and of course Twitter and Facebook. Sangre Azul, be back next Tuesday. We will.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep.